Shane Jones joins us. Tēnā koe, Shane, thanks.
Ngā mihi, ngā mihi,
Shane.
Kia tātou.
Kia ora. It's an awkward time. You're heading to the big house, but not quite sure in what numbers and the makeup of the mahi that you will be doing. I just asked Calvin whether he felt guilty taking his paycheck whilst seemingly doing nothing. He said, well, it's not quite like that. Everyone else takes some time off. So I'm asking you then, mate, you're in a bit of limbo. How are you filling in your time, Mr. Jones?
Well, it's a period of transition, and the sad fact of the matter is none of us anticipated it would take 3 weeks, and certainly so many Kiwi voters, 570,000, would cause us all to be in a type of limbo. And it's not only that, we're also going to have a wee bit of uncertainty because there's a by-election coming up. And I guess the by-election will start with early voting. So it's almost as if it's a continual treadmill. Some people are going to be watching the voting behaviour for another 6 to 8 weeks, mate.
This is good planning time for you. I mean, either way, you're going to have some sway, have to. So whether that's as an opposition or as part of the government going forward. Mind you, the roles are quite different. How can you plan, or are you sort of being forced to sit on your hands while this is all determined?
No, well, the last time we did quite a lot of work in 2017, tabulating and basically developing a list of priorities based on the manifesto. Various issues that had been highlighted during the period of time from 2014 to 2017. And whilst there's not a playbook that you can immediately relocate from one period of politics to another, there's some important things, and good politics really requires effective preparation. And looking after the tinana, looking after the blooming Hinengaro, because let's face it, it's been an intense period of time. And media shenanigans aside, there's still quite a bit of uncertainty in the sense that although historically, Dale, these votes have tended towards the left, there are some people who feel that this particular election reflects a rejection of some of the excesses of progressive politics. I myself am pretty bog standard. If it's headed this way in the past, it's highly likely that what we'll see this time around in terms of tabulating and counting will reflect the distribution and the pattern of the flow from 2008, 11, 14, 17, 20.
How hopeful are you to perhaps in time be able to re-establish something akin to the PGF? Are you proud of what you're able to provide the support into the regions? It was a bottom line for the previous arrangement. Perhaps you'll get a chance to resurrect that. Does the thought excite you?
Yeah. Although, as irksome as it might sound, the reality is we've got to be absolutely confident, mate, that the finances are robust, that we're using what finances available in terms of pursuing our party objectives in whatever role we may be privileged to play in a future government. But it's going to come down to the amount of pūtea available and is that the best utilisation of it. We campaigned on a regional infrastructure fund, and that will address local infrastructure, including community halls, marine infrastructure, addressing some of the egregious deficits in rural New Zealand, such as bridges and whatnot. So, no, we're as keen as mustard, but the caveat is make sure there's enough tin in the bin.
Tēnā koe. The voting trends of new migrants into our country, who are coming in great numbers, as many New Zealanders opt to live in Australia. You still remind us that Australia is the biggest threat to Māori development. So for each Kiwi who goes over there to live, we're replacing them predominantly with either Chinese, Indian, South African, or Filipino residents. Now, they come into our country a little less knowledgeable about the history politically of this land, but do tend, and this is a gut feeling, I think I'm asking for your thoughts here, Shane, do you think they tend to be right-leaning?
How I unpick that onion is as follows. We have done ourselves a gross disservice by pursuing mass immigration. Not only has it put strain and pressure on our infrastructure, but we're changing the character, we're changing the culture, and we're changing the direction of the country because we're not doing enough to actually grow, develop, and retain our homegrown talent. So that's the position of the party over a long period of time. And there's a famous saying, you know, immigration, attract the people we need, not people who need us. Now, as harsh as that might sound, that's been a long-standing principle articulated by Winston and various other MPs. Look, people's voting habits, they ebb and flow. If you've got any doubt about that, never forget that when Winston and I were booted out of Parliament in 2020, Jacinda got 52-53% of the vote of all New Zealanders. So there's always a big group there, mate. The votes do slosh around.
Okay. I don't know, did any of your boys get to the Māori Rugby League tournament this year, Shane Jones?
Yes, I think I saw Ken, Dot's lad, my stepson. He was filling in the whakapapa and ensuring that a little bit of glory was enjoyed by some of the hapus up home, and Chrissy Panapa confirmed that she was taking an ope. And I think one of my boys played for one of the teams in the Piri Mōkeda Cup. They're married and have a lot to do with the local communities that share as their primary whakapapa in around Whangaroa. And of course, the CEO of Te Au Pauri is Maria Meno, and she's also a candidate, and I guess she's waiting to see whether she goes to Parliament. And her mother is from Whangaroa, and her dad was part of the great kapa whānau up there in Te Kau. So no. And we had the Awanui school reunion in Mara, where Matua Shane Jones went as the after-dinner speaker on Saturday night. So I had them suitably entertained with hilarious stories about how things can go horribly wrong in politics, but you can still live to stand and tell the tale another day.
Tēnā koe. Did anyone famous come out of Awanui Primary School?
Modesty forbids me to identify myself.
Modesty forbids me from identifying myself. Very good. What stands out for you, mate, when you think back of your days at that kura? It's pretty special to go back there. I'm guessing that was, over 50 years ago for you. But what stands out about that experience? Yeah. How did that kura shape the Shane Jones of today?
One of the most extraordinary memories I have is that my mother was my school teacher in 1965 or 66. I won the class competition in standard one, I think, of getting all the questions right, because we were being educated on how you convert the old pound and pennies into the new dollars and cents in 1967. But look, we had Calf Club Day, and my father and other parents did a lot of fundraising. Hangis out at the Kaimomo fishing competition, the 90 Mile Beach fishing competition. But Awanui was very much a community where there was limited gaps between the famous wealthy and the indigent. We all just sort of bumped and ground along. We had the local dairy factory, we had the local cockies. In the 60s, the Opoli Forest was being developed, so lots of the whānau worked in the development of that forest. And I was lucky enough, Emara, by the time I turned 12 or 13, I got dispatched by the Anglican Church to St. Stephen's School away from Awanui. So I was spared the ongoing burden of having to help my father milk the cows every day.
Well, it's been quite a life, and I'm pleased you've been able to reflect on that. And I'm sure that those who attended the Awanui reunion, also would have enjoyed having a call or hearing from somebody who enjoyed their time there, like yourself. We'll know more next week, hopefully. Shane, go well for the week ahead. Thanks, as always.
Hey, good luck.
Tēnā koe.